Christ is risen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is actually a very, very ancient feast of the church that we call Thomas Sunday. It's also called Renewal Sunday, or New Sunday, or Antipascha. And this is something that has been celebrated. Well, we know that the pilgrim and nun Egeria in the mid-300s mentions this feast. So in all probability, it was most likely celebrated many, many years before that, because this was something that was so important in the Gospels. Of course, we know the story. The Lord suddenly appeared among his apostles, and out of nowhere, the doors being shut, the Gospels are careful to tell us. So he came through the walls and granted them his peace. And then he also granted them the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit is given in portions, okay? Because Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will come upon them in full force. But here, it was enough that they had received the grace to remit and forgive sins. And of course, Thomas, for what reason, we're not told exactly. Maybe he was a procrastinator. Maybe he was afraid. He was also late to the Mother of God's dormition, so it seemed to be something habitual in him that made him not there. But the following week, it says, 8 days from that day, which would have been another Sunday, he's there again, because Thomas had said the week earlier, you know, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands and place my hand in them and thrust my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe. Well, we question this over the years. You know, many people, we've talked about this in years past, many people like to call him Doubting Thomas, Doubting Thomas. Okay. But if you look at the icon on the front of your bulletin today, you'll see that it says the belief of Thomas, because Thomas was actually a very, very faithful disciple of the Lord, one who would go on and give his life for the Lord later on. And so we might ask ourselves, why did he doubt? What was the confusion? Well, first of all, when St. Mary Magdalene came and told the apostles that the Lord was risen and had appeared to her, they didn't believe her then, did they? They were completely rejecting that whole idea. And so suddenly the Lord appears among them, and they see and they touch him and they understand what has happened. So they are convinced. But Thomas not being there the next week, even though these were his brothers, even though he had been through everything with them, he was expressing the same doubt that they had all expressed earlier when St. Mary Magdalene had come to them, because it just seemed to him incredulous. Because remember, the apostles did not quite understand yet what this was all about. They heard it, certainly. They experienced the miracles. They saw the resurrection of Lazarus. They saw all these astounding things. But yet, rising from the dead himself would have been something that just was beyond their scope of understanding at that point in time. When Pentecost came, they would get it all. They would understand everything about it, no question about that. But in the meanwhile, Thomas coming in late, and a week late, and all of a sudden seeing the Lord there in front of him, makes the great confession, which many of the fathers say is theologically perfect. It says, "My Lord and my God." He was the only one that we know of that said that when Jesus had appeared among them. Certainly, St. John would have recorded it if the apostles the week before had said anything like that, especially St. John himself, because he was the most theologically astute of all the apostles. He saw many things and wrote them down later that are quite different from what we find in the first three synoptic gospels. So certainly St. John would have indicated if there was that type of talk. But Thomas, it was saved for him to say, "My Lord and my God." And we don't know why else the disbelief might have been there initially. Remember, they were under great threat of persecution. They were scattered. They were panicked. They were paranoid. They had seen the man who raised Lazarus from the dead just a brief time earlier hanging on the cross. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. So Thomas, we can't fault too much for not understanding it either. Even today, when we look at all these things, and as our life in Orthodox Christians, we are astonished. Again, the very idea of God becoming man, of God dying on the cross. This is something that stirs up in our minds all kinds of just crazy thoughts. How is this sort of thing possible? How can God become man? How can God die on the cross? And many will say, well, he didn't, of course. Jesus died on the cross. Well, you got a problem right there when you say that. Because who was born? Was it God? Well, yes, of course. So he divorced himself somehow, his person on the cross when he died? No, God died on the cross in his human nature, it is true. But as we've said so many times, you cannot separate the divine and human natures in the person of Christ. It's impossible to do. So Thomas makes his wonderful, wonderful confession. He knows then of a surety who the Lord is, perhaps better than any of the other apostles did, because it was granted to him as it was granted to Peter when he was asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Well, men have not told you this. This has only been revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven." Surely we could say the same thing about St. Thomas when he says, "My Lord and my God." This Sunday then sets the tone for all the Sundays of the year. This is I don't want to call it a clone, that's too crude perhaps. But this is a replication of the glory that we all felt last week at the Paschal service. This is what now makes all of us gather together Sunday after Sunday, year after year, to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Because it colors everything now. Everything is based on the resurrection of the Lord. We see everything through its lens, even the cross of the Lord. We see through the lens of the resurrection. In the West, they've emphasized the cross so very much that almost the resurrection is almost sort of a side thing, because they attribute to the things that happened on the cross things that Orthodoxy say, of course, never happened. Absolutely not. The Lord was not punished for our sake, for instance. The Lord died as a ransom to sin and death, all the things that held us captive. As St. John Chrysostom brilliantly says in his Paschal Sermon, and St. Basil the Great brilliantly says in his anaphora that we've just finished with these last couple of weeks. So this very notion of the Sunday, of the gathering together of all Christians, of the importance of being here, of not being late like Thomas was, is something that the fathers of the church have hammered home time and time again. And we have trouble with that sometimes in this country, the notion of gathering, because we are so infected with a spirit of anti-ecclesial bias in this country. Ecclesiology means nothing to most people in this country. Church really doesn't mean anything except on a very kind of high-level concept. Certainly not what the Apostle Paul was talking about. Certainly not what the apostles were talking about as we gather together as one body in Christ, manifesting this body among us in much the same way that the body and blood of Christ are manifested in the Eucharist. It doesn't happen in isolation. It happens when all of us come together. And I wanted to read a brief thing that I stumbled across. Well, that's not true. I was actually reading the sermon. From St. Gregory Palamas, that's I think is very, very interesting and applies to everyone here. You know, across the country, many of the priests will call this Absence Sunday. Because after the week of Pascha, this is one of the lowest attended services of the entire year, which is tragic, absolutely tragic. So I congratulate every one of you here today, because this is a very, very important service. Even in the Typikon, it's treated almost like a great feast. Everything's different. Once we get beyond this into myrrh-bearing women and on through the Paschal season next year, things become more redolent of a standard post-Paschal service. But today it's different in many, many ways. And St. Gregory Palamas, I guess even in his time, noticed this. So your people are not alone in all this. But he says something very interesting here. Let no one out of laziness or continuous worldly occupations miss these holy Sunday gatherings, which God himself handed down to us, lest he be justly abandoned by God and suffer like Thomas, who did not come at the right time. If you are detained and do not attend on one occasion, make up for it the next time, bringing yourself to Christ's church. Otherwise, you may remain uncured, suffering from unbelief in your soul because of deeds or words, or failing to approach Christ's surgery to receive, like the divine Thomas, holy healing. There exist not only thoughts and words of faith, but also deeds and acts of faith. Show me, it says, thy faith by thy works. Of course, our holy patron St. James said that. And if someone abandons these and is completely distanced from the Church of Christ and given over wholly to worthless pursuits, his faith is dead or non-existent, and he himself has become dead through sin. Ouch. Strong indeed. But St. Gregory Palamas knew what he was talking about. And so we have to fight many times within ourselves this idea that somehow, you know, well, I can miss church today because this, that, or the other, and it's not that important to be there. That's wrong. That is not part of the Orthodox phronema. And I think that's one of the reasons that the church has proclaimed this particular Sunday dedicated to Thomas. The community is vitally important. And that has to be one of the testimonies that we give to the entire world as to why Orthodox Christianity is different. Because we insist that people should be in church, otherwise you are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Because we all know this is a crazy world, right? Crazier by the day. You don't know if the last time you went to church will be the last time you went to church. You don't know. Perhaps the odds are in your favor. Perhaps they're in all of our favor, but we don't know. And that harkens back to so many of the parables that the Lord gives us in the Gospels about those that are not prepared, that are late, where it says, in fact, thou fool, this very night your soul shall be required of thee, and yet you are not ready. So this should be something that calls us all to attention, that calls us all to a greater commitment to the community where we all receive the same body and blood of Christ, and that unites us more than even familial ties. More than parents and children, more than brothers and sisters, husband and wife, on and the tie that is given to us gracefully and gratefully in the church itself. Because this is part of our inheritance, this is part of our foretaste of the kingdom of heaven, if we will just be open to it and understand that the Lord gives us these things through the church in order to elevate us and bring us to his heavenly kingdom. Amen. Christ is risen.